Welcome back. Love Boat Project, episode 23. Ahoy. Mike Robertson, my co-host. 23, huh?
I just want to say, I know we're almost done. Like we have one more episode and then the stubbies for this season, but we have one more actual episode to watch for season one, which is amazing. And I got to tell you, we are crawling to the finish line with some of these episodes.
It's weird to me. I don't know why. In my mind, I thought the closer you get to the end of the season, does that mean like the quality ramps up? In my mind, that season finale's got to be strong to make you want to come back,
right?
So I never imagined that 23 would be the or be whatever it is. I don't even. It's a lot. It's a lot of things I don't like in the Love Boat.
I feel like I'm being jerked around in a way too, because we saw how good 22 was last time out. Different setup in terms of just one real storyline, one writer and all that stuff.
Sure.
But then that is sandwiched by, however we're thinking about this. It's the meat in the shit sandwich that's been.
It really is.
21 and 23. The fact that I had to go back two whole episodes to find out what the worst episode was when I was writing my notes this week. Not a great finish for the season here. So
no, just boy, in my mind, I'm like, okay, as long as that season finale just blows us away, I'm like, okay, as long as it's worth it, I'm going to trust Aaron Spelling. Get us there.
Captain, I do wonder. Well, we mentioned it last week. There have been like some weird scheduling quirks, or like just in terms of flow and all that stuff. Like, if next week stinks or is underwhelming, there's a world where 22 was supposed to be the season finale, because that just was exact action of the season finale, as opposed to whatever the hell this thing was.
Throwing stuff on a wall. I feel like these were all leftover stories. These were all third stories.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well.
Anyway, stay tuned to hear us.
Yeah, stay tuned. Here we go. We're going to dig into this shit sandwich. Here we go. Yeah, wow. If you loved episode 21, then you'll love episode 23. Episode titled The Business of Love. Crash diet crisis. I'll never fall in love again. Original air date May 13th, 1978. What's on?
Interesting. Whatever else is on, we should have watched.
We should have watched
this. Whatever this is going to be. This could be like a Mannix marathon. This could be some movie, anything.
If we were hanging out and there were two different shows on, Love Boat at 9, Knowing What We Know.
Yeah.
Or a movie on CBS called Break Hard Pass with Charles Bronson and Richard Crenna.
Wow.
Right. Western mystery centering on an enigmatic character brought aboard a train under arrest by a marshal. Very vague description.
You know who is playing who in those roles.
So there's that. Or, now this isn't a movie. It's classified as a 2-hour episode. They do another 2-hour Columbo on NBC.
Oh. Back-to-back Columbos, right?
Yeah. So, and in this one, Irish whiskey, a hard-drinking Irish poet, and a book of Irish verse with a cryptic inscription are the only elements Lieutenant Columbo has to work with to solve the slaying of a gunrunner. Much more detail in that description than there was in Break Hard Pass.
Do you think the Irish poet is Tennyson from the Plumber Poet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lord Byron. Lord Byron. Yeah.
Writing verses in the dark. Breakdown. This is the synopsis again from the TV Guide itself. A reformed prostitute causes trouble between a one-time customer and his wife.
No.
That's wrong. Not it at all.
Wrong.
Wow, that's way off,
right? That's aggressively wrong.
Well, that's 0-1. Captain Steubing re-encounters an old flame.
Yeah, I mean, re-encounters is a weird word, but
but the episode is the crash diet crisis. Like they don't even a fun-loving older couple help bring two lovers back together. That's not it at all.
No, that's not it at all. Where did you get that from?
It's an old TV guide, like the what's on a certain date. You go in and so that would have database. Been.
That's terrible.
I can't believe that's
this is that's third the worst one is one. Somehow that third explanation is worse than the first explanation. They were never former lovers. They weren't even lovers in this. No, episode.
They didn't even know each other. They didn't leave as lovers. Nothing happened.
Moody.
Yeah. They just. A bunch of buzzkills.
Even TV Guide was
They didn't watch it. They didn't watch this episode. We heard it was bad.
They watched the first 5 minutes. It was like, she's a hooker.
Nope. Yep.
Stupid
hooker, hooker, ex-hooker, person. Boat, not... Yeah, it was...
I'm sure Annette Funicello is fun there.
Guest stars this week. Now, I'm going to start with Maury Amsterdam. He played Mr. Mo Price. Was on the Dick Van Dyke Show from 61 to 66. Was a comedian known as the human joke machine for his ability to come up with a joke on any subject. We will him again in 1982.
Oh, a little bit of a long wait for Maury there.
Yeah, yeah. You can never have, maybe it's easy to have too much Maury Amsterdam. Like a little MA goes a long way.
I will see, and I agree, and I think they were judicious with it, considering how little they really had this whole episode. So I'm sure you'll get to it. But Mrs. Price was also on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and they were writers, and so I really liked that. Might be the thing I liked the most in terms of the casting and the plotting and all that stuff. That was a nice little hat tip for 1978, right? That's not a thing that always happened. And I do appreciate, even though we've seen varying degrees of success, I do appreciate the Love Boat's affinity for these old-timey comics.
I agree.
And old-timey comedic actors and stuff like that. Like that Joey Brown? The guy from last week.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I like... That's from 2 weeks ago, I guess. I can't check. But I like when they do that. I think it does add something to it. Somebody with some chops. I mean, there was no way of saving this episode, no matter how good or bad they were. But I did like the effort. So
it's that, plus it's that nostalgia feel. Like, say if that was an ABC show from X years ago and you bring these little people back or you tie these things together. And we've seen this now a couple different times with the Mary Tyler Moore.
Right.
Right, like we've seen it, and I wonder if that's something we'll continue to see, a little like, a little wink, wink.
I mean, we had a third of the soap cast on a few weeks ago. So.
Next, we have a Michael Callan as Nate Jordan from Chester, Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, not the fun, not the exciting part of Chester,
No. I looked up it for Ray Foster. I could not find anything. Jack Carter played Ray Foster. I found nothing on that.
And it's funny because he looks really familiar, right?
So familiar.
And but, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, I'm going to know him from something. And at first I thought it was the guy from Hee Haw. Like, is it a
He looks Roy, so familiar.
Right?
Oh, Roy. Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
Roy Clark?
Roy Clark.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I mean, I wasn't going to go through because it's anybody that was... of this time has 3,000 credits, right? You're not going to go through and look at everything. But yeah, he was not the prevalent actor. I thought he was just based on his look. Like, so I was wrong.
Next, Annette Funicello, again, became a teen idol in the Beach Party movies with Love Boat alum, Mr. Frankie Avalon.
With your boy,
Young and handsome 37-year-old Frankie Avalon, which immediately I'm thinking, well, is she the same age? She's probably younger than that.
She is 3 years younger. I knew we were gonna have this conversation. But the interesting thing with her is she probably doesn't look 34, right? She probably looks older than 34, but she also looks the same that she always did. Like,
It's the same. I didn't hair, know. Kinda.
I've never seen any of those beach movies, but like I knew Annette Funicello growing up from like the peanut butter commercials or whatever. Like, so.
Oh, remember? Yeah, Jif. Choosy moms choose Jif. Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Right. So.
And it, you know what's weird? And it. Yeah, you know, we've had people on the show. Remember the fake French with the really nice nose? You had these people like. Like Annette Funicello had a very plain sort of look about her, but she had like a presence too. Like, you know what I mean? Within the scene, it was interesting.
She's a very famous person. Like, you always ask that question. Like, she's very famous. They just gave her a garbage plot line.
Weird, man.
And I don't think she had the gravitas to nail what they were, I guess, going for. But like, you got Annette Funicello, man. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, like,
let's have fun.
Are beach party movies sad movies? Is that why they were so successful? Come on.
They let stupid Frankie Avalon have fun. Why couldn't Annette have fun?
About machine. They should have given her a dating machine or any machine. All they gave her was just a mopey role.
Joke. And they gave her the human joke machine.
The human joke machine. This is terrible. Next, we've got Christopher George. As Bill Wainwright, Love Boat royalty here, Mike.
I think I have the same note.
First of four Love Boat appearances.
We didn't have the same note. He was married until his untimely death to a lady who was on a couple weeks ago. I do not remember the character's name, but it was Leslie Nielsen's younger fiance wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember her. Wasn't her last name George?
That's
Phyllis George or something like that?
It wasn't Phyllis George. It was like something George. But
that's Reba. That's Regis's wife.
That's anyway. Joy Philbin is Regis's wife.
Joy Philbin. Never mind. Karen Kay as Jill Williams. So many TV appearances. You know, the standard guest star.
Did you see the one thing that she was in that I didn't remember her from it, but I remembered it was the Jason Bateman It's Your Move show. Oh, she was the mom. Show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that took me with Steve Darcy as the husband.
Oh, that's why that one thing went off the air every time he. Yeah. Every time he shows up,
he's there for like a year and he's out of here.
That's the curse. Oh, you brought up Dottie Price, played by Rose Marie, 5 seasons on the Dick Van Dyke Show. My favorite person in this list, because not from the episode, but just based on this list, is Jane Meadows. And I think she's listed as Jane Meadows Adams in this episode.
Allen.
Okay. She's the older, because she's Steve Allen's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the older sister of Audrey Meadows, which I thought this was so very cool.
It's almost like they were like, crap, we have another episode. Get the insurance list and see who's listed as a dependent.
No kidding.
By the way,
that's funny.
Again, they didn't give her much to do.
No.
But she was no Audrey Meadows. Jane Meadows.
No, she's no Audrey Meadows. She didn't have a lot of heavy lifting.
This was a fun cast list, and I did not bother writing them all down because this episode did not deserve that level of effort.
No.
But this was a fun cast list to go through the IMDb information for.
Completely agree.
There were long, long, long bios. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about Jane Meadows Allen was, I guess Steve Allen at one point was making a TV movie of Cleopatra. I don't know if it was a comedy or who knows.
Right.
Where he was making a movie and he wanted her to play Cleopatra ultimately. And she's like, nah, I'm kind of like chilling, kind of retired now or whatever.
Sure.
And he's like, I don't know how I could stay in the marriage if you don't do this. So
what do you do at that point?
She did it.
Well.
But weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Power move there, Steve.
Wow. I don't want to be Cleopatra. Oof.
No.
Yeah, that's weird. Finally, Jessica Walter as Jocelyn Matthews. She played on one of my favorite shows, Lucille Bluth, on Arrested Development. she would go on to be in a total of how many Love Boat episodes?
Now she's coming back as
Is she coming back?
The problem is, like, she's really good. Like, I hope she wouldn't come back, but she's probably got nothing to do. So I'll say
terrible jogger.
She'll be in four more.
Total of eight.
Oh,
when it's all said and done, she might be the Love Boat queen right there. I don't know of anybody other than regular cast. I mean,
did Florence Henderson maybe hit eight? It's like that level of person, she, right?
And another eight songs. It's in her contract.
Once again, a good I don't want to bang on the actors too much this week, in that I want to give them another shot, right? Because I don't think there's much to work with here.
Completely agree. This is not a failure to sort of like reenact the script they were given. They did all that they could with what they were given.
So speaking of the scripts, I haven't done this in a while, but again, with this episode, you had time to go back and look at it. Sure. Yeah, right. So I looked at the writers of the three storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've always mentioned our guys, Art Barr and Ben Jolson. Now they're done for the season, but they're the cream of the crop.
Sure.
And then we mentioned Michael Norrell, I believe. Norville or something last week, who did two-parter. So like we have our favorites. So I was like, let me check these guys out. So the first storyline, the crash diet thing, was written by Ray Jessel, and he's popped up a lot. He's like a story editor or something like that. He pops up a lot in the credits, even if he didn't write one of the storylines. So his name was familiar to me. And he wrote Married Singles, which was the aforementioned Steve Allen swinger one. He wrote the Hollywood Royalty, which was the Jewel heist, the other end of the caper, right?
Right.
And then he did one of your favorites, The Painters.
The Painters.
And then he also did one of the weird ones, The Sisters.
I think I know The Sisters.
That's with Crazy Rose and the Dental Laboratory and all that stuff. So, okay, that's fine. And I would say
it's a bit of a body of work.
And I would say this, as stupid as the crash diet thing is, that's a perfectly competent third, like, C plot.
100%.
On an average Love Boat episode.
Right, right, right. Right.
Fine. Was it great? No. But was it fine? Yes, it was fine.
But it shouldn't be a silver medal winning.
No.
It shouldn't be in the two spot of anything. Well, except for one thing.
The other two.
Yeah.
The other two were trash. And so I was like, who wrote these? So, The Business of Love, which is the hooker / Foster story, was written by Howard Albrecht and Saul Weinstein. The episodes they wrote, this is a mixed bag, right?
Yeah.
So this is what they wrote this season.
Okay.
The Jinx.
Well, I like The Jinx.
You hated The Jinx.
Wait. No, I didn't like The Jinx. That's with what's his face?
Right, the Scarecrow.
Okay. Yeah.
Hated The Jinx. Okay. Romance Roulette, which we both liked very much. Plumber Poet. That was good. And then The Old Man and the Sea, which was Boutherton and The Runaway. So again, a bit of a mixed bag. Are you good or you not? I don't know.
You're good enough to have a quality third level story, I think.
Right.
Like maybe a B level on occasion, but I don't know. There's just no consistency there. It's just kind of like,
But the third one, which, do you think they thought that the widow story was the A story?
Oof.
I don't know. I don't know.
There was nothing to it.
But do you think that's what they thought? It's got Annette Funicello. They had the comic relief in there. It ended the episode. Should have ended it like
they sure did
before.
They treated, although I will say in the amount of screen time that each story got this week, I thought the captain story got way too much screen time.
Well, you think anything with the captain gets too much screen time?
Well, no, I mean, based on the fact that the other two stories weren't like gonna carry anything. I mean, the Annette Funicello story was just, I'm sad. Yeah, I'm sad too. Can I have this book? Sure, I'll give it back to you someday. That's the whole Sorry, I almost dropped the F-bomb there. That's the whole story.
The whole story, though.
That's it. So it's like,
I'm gonna go to bed. All right. I'll see you later.
Yeah. I thought about giving you a smooch, but you know, people came and stood next to us. So, oh, bye. That's it.
So that great storyline was written by Ann Gibbs and Joel Kimmel.
Awful.
And they.
It's lazy.
Okay. So here's their three.
Hmm.
They wrote Golden Agers, which is like a bottom 10 storyline, right? I mean, absolute trash.
In the Julie portrayals, a little bit. Yeah.
But then they wrote The Captain's Captain, which is Stubby.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Right. And then to kind of throw you off here, they wrote One More Time. Now, I did not remember what One More Time was. I had to look it up. You have any clue what One More Time was?
That's not the one where he lost it. It wasn't the double amnesia one, right?
No, this was Mitzi and Lenny.
Why do I know?
When
she slammed the thing on his hand when he was playing the piano.
Right. So, like, they had the ability to write half decent stuff, but not today. And my biggest concern with all of this being said is those last two story writers wrote next week's episode. So we shall see.
It's funny. It's like now I'm like, okay, what's the over under on one of the story, like more than one story being good next week?
Remember at the beginning we were like, the best episodes will have all three storylines, and it's like, man, we're just dying for one and a half. Like,
just scraping. Wow. Well, let's dig into this sandwich. Anything else before we hop on the boat?
That was a lot of my research. What's that? That premonition for next week.
Well, maybe they can redeem themselves. We'll see.
Maybe this episode will be better once we talk about it.
King of the Hill? Well.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Mailbag and call it a night.
Yes. All right. Let's get on the boat here. Jill Williams is dropped off at the Love Boat port. Again, we love the little drop-off taxi custom area by her friend Dolly. And she's trying to convince Jill to forget about the cruise so that they can go prostitute themselves, basically.
I assume they're high end escorts, but yeah.
I just assume like the first rule about Fight Club is not to talk about Fight Club, especially in public, like all loud saying, oh, it was a rich Texan and his rich oil chic friend. Like, hey, how about Ixnay on the outlay?
We're also about a year away from you do not want to be talking about a rich Iranian.
not yet.
What were they talking about in the car ride that she waited until they got out of the car to try and convince her to come with her?
It was a super non-private conversation. It was about something,
right? It's like a Roxy Blue situation. Like, you had the whole ride to convince her otherwise.
And you get out and start, loose lips sink ships, Dolly. I would hope you would know that.
There is not a worse gift you can give someone who's about to get on a boat
than just a
handful of loose oranges.
Here you go. Wouldn't you come back with them? Maybe not oranges, but fruit. Like, what
bag, man?
Isn't it against customs? Aren't they going to? You can't bring American. I'm sure you can't bring like a bowl of them. What was for her to eat?
You think
like what was?
I don't know what the significance was. Do you think that she, one of Dolly's clients was like whoever runs the orange bowl, and she just had him like laying around or something like that?
Really hoping Miami.
Who won the 1978 Orange Bowl? It's whoever that was.
Promotional. It was on ABC. It just cross brand. And they're going to carry that same thing of oranges all the way to Miami. Like, they're going to have that whole thing in the back of a Cadillac, and they'll drive it there and make it there for kickoff. Yeah.
You got to give her a bag.
She gave her a chalice, a metal, like.
Right. This is the metal least arc of oranges. Carry. I don't know. Anyway, I have to go up the steps. Who knows if there'll be just some dude just careening through the hallways. So
it's either she gave her a dumb gift, she gave her too many oranges, or Jill's just not good at carrying oranges. I think it's a combination of all three. It was a bad orange vessel. But I guess maybe she didn't think food came with it. So she wanted to get scurvy or rickets like they used to. I heard you get vitamin deficiencies on ships. Like, I'm not going to be an indentured servant. It's not like that. They have food.
I mean, I don't think Dolly had a great concept of any of this. Like, I don't think she realized that, you know, because like all their conversation is about hooking. Like,
yeah, she loves to talk about hooking.
Right. She's loudly. Like, oh, you would make a fortune. You would make a fortune on this boat. Would you? The love boat is a lot of things.
It's not a love brothel.
Well, but it is. You don't have to pay for it. How many people have really struck out on the love boat if they were trying? Like, and so.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's funny.
It would have been fun. I would have liked to have seen Dolly show back up, because she was a lot.
Yeah, she was a lot.
I think this is 3 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Where we've had the drop off. We've had a character do the drop off, drop some exposition, and then they're gone. They don't come back.
Somebody loves that idea. No, I don't hate it. It's a nice setup. Instead of, again, everyone meets in this roundabout area, which is interesting. Dolly says she can't help but be skeptical. And this is referring to Jill saying she's done with that line of work. We'll keep it classy, San Diego. Jill says she's no longer okay for doing that for money and has saved enough money until she finds a non-prostitute, I think that's the way to say it, non-prostitute job.
Yeah, I think she called it a straight job, but yeah, non-prostitute also.
Yeah, just to really cut through the butter there. Just, okay. Dolly says, what a waste. Such a weird thing to say. Then gives her friend a hug goodbye. Wow, you are weird, Dolly.
She so Dolly is like, I'm going to miss you, right? But I couldn't tell if she was saying it because she's going to miss her for this week that she's gone, or she's going to miss her because their lives will never cross again. But it's not like you're going into the office every day, right? I mean, like.
Yeah, but maybe here's what's happening is. I think it's like a good batter type situation, right? Like, Dolly got better pitches to hit. Because Jill was batting ahead of her kind of thing.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And maybe Jill was a bit of a better hitter.
Well, I mean, I think in this situation, sounds like she was the best.
Right. So in this situation, Dolly's like, oh no.
I mean, I don't know if you heard that she made upwards of $100.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah, that was my theory right away.
You texted me. I was shocked. I was shocked that we were getting a prostitution story, and I was doubly shocked that we were opening with a prostitution story.
No kidding. Right off the bat. Why can't we everyone on the show learn about this later? Like her secret. And they don't
never learned about it. It was poor Bill.
Oh God. Bill's dumb as a box of rocks. He's just
poor Bill.
Poor Bill.
He's happy.
He's happy.
And he's going to be happy when he finds out, honestly.
He's not going to give two craps. He'll be so happy. He'll be fine with it.
Yep.
Oh, no, not that. Oh, I'm Bill.
No, you're good at that.
No, that's great. Gopher greets a sad-looking Annette Funicello, a.k.a. Roberta Roberts, double R, and invites her to dinner. She says, I couldn't possibly be less interested in being romanced by you.
I will never get past, I don't care how many episodes we do it. Yeah. I will never get past the like casual nature of the crew asking a passenger out. Like, she just got on the boat.
Yeah. It's too easy. Like, it is like a
stewardess asking you out when they say good morning and you make a right onto the plane, right?
It's no like avoiding. That. It's just, yeah, it's yeah. weird. Imagine crazy. If that was like the emergency room, you know, like the ambulance driver. Hey, you single? Like, what's going on?
What's your story?
No, maybe I go to another call. Yeah, which is yeah, just weird. I think that would be rule number one. If I'm a captain, that's rule number one. Leave the passengers alone. Like, for real, they're here on vacation.
You know, like there's a tampering period or whatever, like in free agency. You got to yeah. give everybody like the first 24 hours. You can't hit on anybody. No. Let them get acclimated to the boat.
Just like, jumping on them. Like, you guys have only been in one cruise for like 4 days and everyone lives in California. It's not like you guys, right. like the they're crew came from fit. Some, right. Oh, we've been out for months. A bunch of horn dogs.
No, I don't want to go to dinner with you.
No.
Gopher.
Get out of here.
And what are you going to do to my food now? Because I turned you down.
Yeah. And then the rest of the thing, she's like, oh, there's that creepy guy.
Right.
Or is that just weird? Did people just cross that line more in the 70s? Wonder if it was just like open season.
I'm okay with open season, but it's like we've had this version of the conversation where it's like yeah. it's like hitting on a bartender. It's not fair to the people who have to be there for work. Mm-hmm. So the reverse should be the same too, right?
I agree. I agree. Mo and Dottie Price arrive on the ship with their Price's Ice is Nice t-shirts.
Awesome.
If you go to our merch store, you can get Price's Ice is Nice t-shirts and visors.
Would that be a top five seller? Probably
oh,
not. Yeah. Right?
Oh, Price's Ice is Nice. Oh, it'd be great on a koozie.
I think my favorite shirt would be the Barry Keys tour shirt, like with all the cities.
All the...
yeah.
Good one. I like that one. Barry Keys. Gopher checks in Nate Jordan. Boy, he's just as sad looking as Annette Funicello.
He's a real joy to be around.
He comes in the room and immediately like turns out all the lights, ting, 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 and then he walks in.
Lord.
I want to show you how sad I am as I walk in the dark. Good Lord.
I did not want to go back, but did he get in? Did Gopher be, was Gopher like, oh, Ben Jordan? And he's like, no, people call me Nate. Like, who cares? Like, why was that a thing?
And we're like, yeah, Ben Jordan, whatever. What?
All right, move along.
Maybe if you guys asked for ID, this would all be clarified. You just, was it the honor system? That's how customs works on this boat.
What do you want to be called?
What's your name? Bill? Kevin. It's Kevin. It's ridiculous. Like, they don't respect birth certificates at all. They're just doing whatever they want. Ugh. Man, I wrote this note. I was like, man, nosy gopher. Jeez.
Not just nosy, but like, you don't ask, hey, are you traveling by yourself? And the reason you don't ask that is because someone might be dead.
That's so awful. You don't ask. Like, why are you asking about someone who's not there? Number one, you and your, like, read the room, gopher. How many people do you interact with and you're this clueless?
Right. Why are you so bad at your job, Gopher? This is like,
this is the biggest part
of the job, right? Like, I thought it at the time that when that girl was trying to get Julie's job, she specifically asked Sandy Duncan about children. I think she knew that child had died. This is the complete opposite version of that, but same result.
It's the same result. It's just, it is. It just, again, and this is the same thing we talked about before. Is this really what you want to do? And when you're in that state of mind, like, let me go be around a whole bunch of people I don't know that are all like looking to hook up so I can, it just does sounds like a terrible idea. And then I'm going to be seated randomly at strangers' tables, which is a hard pass for me.
We'll get to the seating arrangements this week because if that's Julie's main job, she's not doing a lot.
Paying attention. She's terrible. Boy, oh boy. Here he comes. String bean stewing.
Favorite storyline.
It just proves everything about him. He's just so his. We'll get to it, but yeah, it. Okay, he didn't steer anything this week, did he? He didn't see him steering anything. He didn't have time.
We're 0-2, right? Like their last the steering streak is over. They got three episodes out of that steering.
Because they were like, "What is he doing?" They're like, "I don't know. I don't know what he's doing."
hey, Gavin. I don't know who let you in the editing bay, but that's not driving.
That's not driving a boat, Gavin. Stubing, I should say String Bean Stubing's looking over a group of passengers coming on the boat and tells Doc that he recognizes a pretty woman named Jocelyn that he used to have a crush on in high school. Again, you have nothing better to do than to be just scoping out passengers to immediately put your hooks in as the captain of the ship.
So, would you recognize, it's not automatic that you would recognize somebody from high school, right? Like, that's 30 years ago. People change.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but.
Because the thing is, you have to, like, it's not that you just have to recognize them to know who they are from your high school. You have to
see them in a.
You have to pick them out of a random crowd. Stranger. Right.
No, I think.
Yeah.
It would be, I think it would just be luck or lack of luck if you did see that person.
Yeah. I don't think it's the slam dunk that they kind of.
Well, here's the other thing, right? What did he used to say? I do my best to learn everyone's name on the thing. Like, eventually he would have seen it was her.
Yeah. Which would have been interesting.
Which would have been showing up at rooms. He runs over to greet her, and I'm just like, dude, like, have some respect. Just, like, look captainly.
His boat hasn't launched yet.
It's the fastest I've seen him move since he was going after John Ritter in the hallway that one time.
Or he was chasing, himself.
He's going on about how she hasn't changed. And she kind of gives him a once over. She said, "What happened to String Bean Stubing?" Burn. Hey, fatty. And he kind of just looks at her and his face kind of squinches up. She says, "Oh, don't feel too insecure. Because a lot of guys that they knew from the old days are now bald." He crossed a line.
This is where social media helps, right? You kind of like set the expectations at a proper level with social media.
Yeah.
Well, like if I had a crush from 30 years ago, yeah. I've probably checked in, right? At least once.
Sure. Now,
whether Stubing knows how to use a computer, I have no idea.
He's just. It's just ridiculous. It's his air of desperation. Like he doesn't have the confidence of a stubby, a proper captain. Like this guy just doesn't have. Again, he's going to be like, "Oh yeah," and the whole thing in here is like, "Well, look what I can do. I can change my body and like do all these things to be like that square peg that you want me to be, even though that's not. You know, like that's not captainly." I wasn't going to wear the hat this week, and we'll see why in a little bit. But then I was like, well, somebody's got to be the damn captain. Somebody's got to act
you're the
like
captain.
I'm the captain.
You're the captain now.
Yeah, I'm the captain now. Because this guy, these aren't captain-like behavior in any way. Come on. And then he's going to use as an excuse he got called to the bridge. Nobody's ever called you to the bridge. In 23 episodes, you've never been called to the bridge. Ever. No, and if you did, the cameras didn't find it. You don't even know where it is. You call that that guy across, Lieutenant Wheeland or whatever.
Well, the captain of the officer of the watch wasn't on this week, so maybe he had him killed to get him off the scent.
Something. That's probably why Gopher was washing his back during dinner. I was wondering why he was standing there.
That was weird.
Weird. So she's, you know, makes the bald thing, which, you know, I mean, come on. You know, statistically, it is what it is. That's what I always say.
Wait, are you sticking up for Stuving now?
Well, just the bald part. Look, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it, you know? Next week, I'm going to show up the episode. I'm going to have, at the stubbies, I'm just going to have long, flowing locks.
You got the sides. You got to have those classic Stuving sides.
Stuving sides and like pants that are way too big and my scale adjusted 15 pounds. Ray and Myrna Foster check in and they're bickering.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. Boo. Bill Wainwright bumps into Jill, causing her to drop her basket of oranges.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Top three dumbest things to give someone going on a number one, a basket of oranges. She goes to pick them up. Ray Foster looks over, boo, and says, worst. Well, I'll be. And his wife's asking what he's talking about, and he just says nothing. Yeah. Says, this might be a very romantic cruise after all. Uh-oh, we know it. We can put a couple things together.
Yeah, it's not romance. It's not romance, Roy.
No. No, and Roy's like, and I brought cash, you know, just to really drive the point home. Ugh. Roberta, poor Myrna. Roberta unpacks her things sadly, and the scene ends as she stares at a framed photo.
Yep, big old frame.
Big old frame, because it's a travel size. You see the one at home; it's a whole their whole wall.
So I think the lesson we've learned here is the less alive your person is, the bigger the frame.
The bigger the picture. So, yeah, but what about the guy in like that one episode?
Or a sweetheart at home, it's a 3x5.
It was. Remember the kids at home? His wallet and they were this big.
Right.
But this guy, Bill, I think his name was Bill for some reason.
Bill. All right, Bob.
He's got
Bob. Officer Bob.
Officer Bob. Jill and Bill bump into each other again near the pool.
I'm Bill.
Here we go again. I'm Gil. I'm Jill. I'm Bill. It's going to be all boy. Well, that'll make the episode seem a little more fun. You know, there you go. Little Muppets Take Manhattan.
They've gotten lazy. No, we can't repeat bits. I mean, just because they're doing it doesn't
they're
mean
so
we
can. Lazy with it, Jill, Bill. They're all, I'm surprised it's not Roberta and Robert.
It's Jill, Bill, and the Fosters. We just had Gary Bananas Foster 2 weeks ago.
They love Fosters. Maybe they're related.
Gary Foster's a stand-up guy. He would not be related.
No. He doesn't mess with that.
That scumbag, Roy scumbag. Foster.
Jill and Bill bump into each other near the pool. That pool's hopping, by the way. This pool is hopping. Normally, you don't see that.
Like, didn't we have like a zero pool a couple weeks ago?
Like the water didn't even move.
You know what's funny? For that scene...
Yeah,
I was like, oh, they might actually be on the boat.
It was a different camera angle completely.
I don't feel like I felt like that for the rest of the episode, but for that one episode scene, I thought maybe they were actually on the boat.
I thought so, too. It did feel very realistic as far as and the people in the pool. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It looked fun. He asks her if she's sitting with anyone. She tells him she isn't. And then they end up walking off together, essentially. Like, it was sort of a weird...
We talk about the people, should you be on the cruise, shouldn't you be on the cruise? And there's no, like, reason for her not to be on the cruise, right? But, like, she's got a new job. She's trying to focus on her life changes. It's obviously some sort of, like, demarcation of...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, it is unusual to go by yourself in that vein, right? Because... Yeah. And you have a little money saved up and you're starting a new job. Like, is this the expense you should be putting out there before you start work? I don't know. Maybe she had a lot of money saved.
I mean, it's not like she was going and not putting herself in a spot to meet somebody based on the situation she was in. It was just sort of a weird move based on
going on the chastity boat.
No, No, like, where are you going? Cancun, senior frogs, you know, nice responsible vacation. What?
I'm carrying the world's most sensual fruit.
It's just, does anyone like oranges? So many oranges.
What if Bill had walked by, right, and didn't knock into her, would she just wheeled and like threw him at him? Like she
would have sat in her room. Just devoured oranges the entire time. Just nothing to do. I don't know anybody.
Oysters of the sea.
Yeah, that's what aren't. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac, this was a weird one, takes drink orders from sad Nate and then also a sad Roberta. Both of them who request the same drinks that Isaac wasn't quite sure at first.
Okay. So I have this.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
And I had it on my recent trip to the South mm-hmm. for a little vacation a few months ago. Mm-hmm. It's a fine drink when you're outside in the sun. It's an excellent choice. I'm actually impressed that these two depressed people had something with some fun. I thought with they would order like
color.
Yeah, it's rum and fruit juice and a grenadine. Like it's
what kind of fruit juice you need
to get. It's very nice. The fact that Isaac A admits to not knowing any drink is stupid, but never something that basic. That's a very
what kind
I
mean, of fruit?
This is a 45-year-old episode, and I had this drink 2 months ago at a bar. So like, what's it's a the real
what's the fruit juice?
I think it's kind of whatever you want or whatever they have or like could be a.
Oh, so Planner's Punch could be like we used to do when we go, right? Like our drink.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So
interesting.
That's really all it is. The grenadine, I think, is what makes it like a bar drink. But ultimately, it's just rum and fruit juice. Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's fun. It's a fun drink.
While playing backgammon for 5 cents a point. Bill jokes with Jill about hustling him, which I guess is the wrong thing. Top 5 things you should not say to a recovering.
And yeah, there was
about hustling him. That was a weird.
So there were a few of those where like she was ready to be offended.
Right.
Bill had no idea what he was talking about, right? And then the things he were saying was not that bad. But she never really went that far in it. But I thought that was going to be a thing, but they ran away from the actual interesting parts of that plot. So they didn't, you know, say anything.
I think she could read the fact that he didn't mean it in any sort of weird, you know what I mean? In any sort of weird way. I think she was able to see through that, which is nice because I didn't think Bill was, I mean, obviously he doesn't know. So no, I mean,
Bill's a goof. Yeah.
I mean, that's
what I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting what they ended up betting, like 5 cents or 10 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we had a million years ago, we had Jacqueline Smith and Dennis Kingston bet a dollar. Like 99% of the wagering on this boat is low stakes. And then there's Wendell Sneed
who takes
over down for $1 million.
and that cruise wasn't over yet. Like he could have.
Yep.
He hadn't moved on to like general population with his single deck of cards.
Oh, he would have crushed those guys.
Is that his rule?
Yeah, he just went after them. Like,
we can play as long as we use mine.
He's very visual. The money you see, he goes after. Yeah. So he saw that. He saw that money in the box, and he went after that. So
if I was him, I just would never let anyone sit behind me, and I wouldn't sit in front of a window ever again. But I would use those marked cards.
I wouldn't mortgage my house for a mediocre cruise
cruise where you thought you were up because you won a few hundred and then you broke even but then you got the money. Exhausting. Captain Sip, here comes String Bean Stubing. He is jogging.
I just have a note. It's like Stubing comedy exclamation point.
Just so over the top. He's in his cabin jogging in place. Who jogs in place is like an exercise. Just
indoors.
Like, then he weighs himself, but he doesn't look happy with the number. He gets Doc. He tells him he's excited about seeing Jocelyn. He'd like Doc to help him fix, you know, this weight issue he has. Somehow the line is a fast is fast. comes up, but says that starvation is probably not the best way to do this. A few seconds later, a knock on the door. There's Isaac to offer the captain a jelly donut for his regular tea time. We know what's going on now. This Joker is just getting treats delivered all day.
It's your tea office. Time? Tea. What is that?
There was no tea on that. And I know that's not a literal tea time.
Right.
That's not a... That's not what that is. It's not a jelly. It's not jelly donut time.
He's not the emperor of the sea. Like, why is he getting treated like this? What? Like, Isaac's not your secretary.
But that's what I'm saying. Is that if this is the treatment he gets as the captain on the ship, then wouldn't he be a lot more confident dealing with a situation like that? Wouldn't he be like, her loss. I'm king of this Pacific, princess. In fact, right. I'm king of the Pacific.
Right. Half the time he's craving the adoration of his crew.
Right.
So I'd be very, you know what? If somebody brought me a jelly donut and a coffee every afternoon at the same time,
I would be happy. I'd be like, you know what? I don't need a Jocelyn, but I do need a jelly donut at 3 o'clock every day. So
I think you have led the charge of the uncaptainliness of Steubing and mm-hmm. all the things. But I think the one thing we kind of underestimate sometimes is just how stupid he is. So
it's so over the top. He's so
you're
dumb.
Going to literally not eat for a day while you're piloting a boat.
Thank you.
That has 599 people, you know, on right. it at least, because there was one vacancy.
At least.
Like, and you think that's going to work? Like, you know how weight works? Like,
but also, like, to your point, he's at work.
Right.
This is work. What do you, you're going to, what? It's a 3-4 day cruise. You're going to, come on, dude.
It's
they made him
healthy.
Look, he looks like a fool.
He does. He does. And he's, and okay. And even when he's not talking about that, he's basically pumping Doc for pills.
Just, yeah, looking for quick ways to,
right. To shame the it's a shame you never fixed the sauna, Steubing. You could have gone and sat there. You know who lost a lot of weight was Larry Storch.
That's right. That's funny. Here we go. Bill hands Jill. We're back to these people again. A towel as she emerges, or she gets out of the swimming pool and she's drying herself off. Ray. Ask Isaac. Oh, geez, boo! Oh, Ray,
this
Ray,
is
boo!
Terrible.
He asks Isaac if Jill is traveling with that person, Bill, over there, and Isaac says he's pretty sure they met on the ship. Number one, have a little privacy, man. Like, how about a little privacy?
Isaac, you know what the answer to that question is? I don't know, man.
Would I don't know, man. A lot of people.
Yep.
That's it.
Like, crazy.
How about you look up what planner's punch is? How about you, you know what I mean? Just work on that.
Good I guess Lord. The question that Jack asked after they went to commercial was, what's her room number? And Isaac gave that up too, because he found that.
Yeah. That, I thought that was weird too.
This boat has terrible security at the highest levels and the lowest levels. It's just
a free
so
for all.
Casual.
Free for all. I'm surprised the doors even lock.
I'm surprised there's even doors.
Just wide open.
Just one, which is one big glass wall.
It's terrible. Okay. Well, I will say a big moment now is dinner time.
I knew you'd
be excited. Captain's dinner returns. Yeah, short jackets. And this is, it's gift weird again here. So he arrives at the table and I notice, I look at the table. It's a woman, man. It's in the right order. Everything looks the right way.
He's in the middle.
He tells Jocelyn how delighted he is to host her. And he's looking all deeply into her eyes. Like such a weirdo. And then Gopher interrupts and he says that the captain shouldn't be wearing his hat at the dinner table. Let me just tell you something right now. This isn't even about whether you should wear a hat or not a hat. What is wrong with Gopher?
Oh, like I think Gopher was like, he can't say anything. I'm right.
Man,
so I think this is Gopher. I think this is, you remember when Julie a couple weeks ago told him about Courtney Steubing, and we were like, there's a way she could hide this as actual work, but she's really just getting to him. I think that's what Gopher is doing. I think Gopher is taking his opportunity to just put the screws on Steubing for all the times he's put the screws on Gopher.
I felt like Steubing should have taken him on deck out at that moment and just thrown him off the boat. Goodbye.
What if the next thing he just shoots him? Like,
right? Just right there. Oh.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you would have an opinion on this for any specific reason, but in general, is the smarter move if you're Steubing? You're not going to be able to wear that hat for the rest of your life, right?
No, so, of course not.
So you have two choices. You don't come in with the hat and you just go, you go with the initial, give her some time to, you know, maybe don't acknowledge it right away. Or you do this and a slow reveal, which is way more jarring and you're there for it. Right? This is the dumber move of the two options.
I think because you have no choice in what it is, right? You lose your hair, you lose your hair. You got no choice. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. Is it a tough pill to swallow? Sure. But if you present it in a way, or if you don't present it and you're deceitful about it, then there's no way you can come across as being confident about it, meaning like it is what it is. So for me, the captain here should have just, you just own it.
Right.
Does he ever wear, I don't think he's ever worn his hat. I'm the captain of the Pacific Princess.
Yeah. You have mentioned he wears his hat maybe indoors more than a normal captain would,
way more but than
he's never worn it in the dining hall.
No.
That's actually his fiefdom. Is that captain's table? Yeah.
So that was odd.
I mean, like, were you going to leave it on the whole time, Steubing? If you conquered Jessica Walter?
Yeah.
Were
you so badly want to be what you think that she wants or what she said that she wants. So you're just going to, you're not going to eat. You're always going to wear a hat. That's great. It's a good thing he's guiding the ship. It's a good thing he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He removes it. Jocelyn gasps.
She should have spit-taked. That would have been great.
That would have been good. She apologizes for making that comment earlier. Captain says he's not eating dinner. They're like, they're all waiting for you to start because he had a very big lunch.
So is that a thing? Huh. That they can't eat till he eats? That's a weird thing.
That's a weird thing.
Again, you're not the emperor of the sea.
Like, no, like what?
It's bad enough I have to sit at the table with you and be involved in whatever this weird conversation is you're having with the purser and this lady.
It's a weird combination of things because on one hand, he's like, oh, I have to reluctantly look. Oh, this is what it is, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So you're down, and then at the same time, he's like, oh, you can eat. You still have to do these duties, like you said, as emperor of the sea.
Right.
It's a weird, like, at the same time in the same scene.
You can't be...
Like, he doesn't know what he's doing, man.
This happens to all these people, except maybe Doc. And even though, because Doc had this problem a couple weeks ago, like, you can't be in your feelings emotionally, right, with your life choices and be doing your job at the exact same time.
Right. It's not like
Princess is getting screwed on that deal.
What
you're not giving me your phrase,
duty calls. Like you're on duty. You're on the it's ridiculous. Okay, we're moving on here. A sad Roberta, because she's always sad.
Is there any other kind?
She arrives at the assigned dinner table, and this would, I'm telling you, Mike, this would be just a deal breaker for me. For anybody, if you're going on a, you don't want to sit next to, so they're at this assigned seat, happen to be shared by Mo and Dottie Price. Could be worse. And Nate.
One of my notes for that is like, that is my actual cruise nightmare. You always talk about like the food and all that stuff, feeling claustrophobic, but like that's my nightmare is these assigned seats. You could just be stuck with these people who are aggressive aggressive in their friend making attempts for 9 or 10 days. That just seems horrible.
I wouldn't want to deal with, and then you're kind of put in those situations. Because what happens if you don't want to sit there? You just don't eat?
Well, I mean, sometimes it seems like these things are booked to the gills, too. Yeah. So, yeah, there's nowhere else to go. I would like an episode on Julie's process for these table assignments. Now, I don't know what kind of information you have, right? Like, this is a couple. These are two single people. I don't think there's a box that says bummed out because of spouse death.
It's a series of stickers. Yeah. Right. Well, there has to be some, but this is just, well, I think it's just a convenient device that you can use to put two people together circumstantially that probably wouldn't meet in an episode where none of the stories are good. You're like, well, we got to get these two.
You want to look at it like that? This whole show is pointless that we do every week.
No, but I think big picture wise, because we've seen some other. It's just interesting because
I would have all the single people together. The swinger episode, right? Those were four single people all together, and have the couples together. That makes more sense. If there is not a box for widow on the forum, which I assume there's not. Then all the single people should be at one table.
Unless it's an all widow and widower cruise. Oh, sad. That'd be a sad cruise.
Just the saddest
cruise. Just saddest cruise
ever. Everybody shuffling past each other on the deck.
The band only plays The Way We Were. Just amazing.
Oh, there was.
That happened again, too. okay. Mo and Dottie go on about the ice business. Nate says he's stockbroker. Roberta says she's an economist. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I didn't know what that would have meant, actually.
That's like, she's like saying, none of your beeswax, basically. Don't worry about what I do.
But like, they didn't do anything with that. Like, that's in theory a commonality, right?
You would think.
Where's 30 seconds about that? Oh, do you love your work at least? Or like nothing?
Nothing. And they just talk about the ice business. Yeah. Ray, creepy ass Ray, gazing hungrily at Jill as she's on the dance floor with Bill. And so Myrna, poor Myrna, grumbles at him, tells him to stop staring at that beautiful, beautiful lady.
Smooth, Bill. Subtle.
Smooth. Ray.
Foster. Ray. Roy.
And then talking about a drink, Isaac.
This was
terrible. The Wilt Chamberlinsky, which was a tall black Russian. Let me ask, I know what a white Russian is. What's in a black Russian? What's the black? Is it like soda and rum or something? Or what's the coffee?
Chocolate milk?
Ovaltine?
Stupid Ovaltine?
Stupid. I didn't know what it was, but it was just like, what the Will Chamberlinsky?
It's funny, I didn't look it up, and I intended to do a little drink bit here. There were a couple examples. I think the prices were an example. I think this terrible Isaac bit was an example. They knew, right, that this was depressing. And they were trying to just stick some zingers in there, but it was just like,
it wasn't. There's not enough zingers.
No.
There's not enough zingers. The damage has already been done.
Yeah.
Mo and Dottie urge sad Roberta and sad Nate to join them on the dance floor, but they say no. Surprise, surprise. And they each say to themselves that they're not in the best of moods. Okay. They want to be around the quieter parts of the show. Okay. What are we even writing here? It's like the verbal, it's like the story is the equivalent of the word shh. There's nothing happening here. But, okay.
That's really should have been called I don't wanna.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Just we're back to Stubing again. Stubing tells Jocelyn it's just he's falling in love with her. Like come on, Meryl. Get it together, dude. It says how gorgeous she is. Like just
The only reason I give this a pass in terms of the speed, right, is that he knew her 30 years ago. He clearly had a high school crush. I'll give him a little bit of a pass, but you're an adult. Nobody wants to hear that. And you know that, right? Stupid. Like, you know, nobody wants to hear you're in love with them 28 minutes into the date. Like, so.
And keep in mind, it's not like she went on this cruise to see him, to be reunited with him.
Right.
What, so what, wonder what her agenda was aside from this whole thing. So what is she, because he's just like, oh, you know, she's here for me to stalk, basically.
It is interesting. They really should once in a while throw in just like a, doesn't have to be a like a main credit person, right? But just a person who's like just by themselves, kind of in the background, so we can kind of see what they're doing. But we never really get that. Like, I don't know what a person, if they weren't involved in the plot, would do. Right. Like on this.
So that's it. That's her, the entire identity of this character is just to be like hunted down by Steubing.
Yeah.
And to be the worst jogger I've ever seen.
And in my life. And if she had just like worn a hat or dyed her hair different from her yearbook photo, that's, she would have been fine.
Or boarded on a different like entry point, or earlier, or anything.
Well, she knows she probably was doing. She was probably waiting until he started playing with those things, and that didn't happen this week.
Just gonna run.
So she had to get on.
Well, she tried to get on last week, and it didn't do it then. So she had. She was like, I got to get on this boat.
Blowing money constantly.
She's telling that she managed to keep her girlish figure by jogging every morning. Let me just say, spoiler alert, we're going to learn that what she's doing is not jogging, but more on that.
Might have been 1978 jogging though.
I don't want to ruin it now. It was terrible. And she perks up. When she starts talking about, he perks up about the jogging and suggests they go jogging together. Oh boy. Oh boy. Here we go. A lot of flipping back and forth in this. A lot of like
which honestly, so I go back and forth on that, because sometimes I'm like, the back and forth means you don't have anything.
Right.
But then I also don't want one of those 9-minute scenes that goes nowhere either. But there's a middle that we did not achieve here with this.
No. We're back to Bill and Jill. Bill walks Jill back to her cabin and said he had such a great day. He wishes for a lifetime of today's.
Yeah. Bill's just nice. Head over heels, man. Just nice guy.
Just no like weird. Yeah. He didn't get weird.
They've got a great meet cute.
Is nice. And he said, hey, you know, invites him. Can we do breakfast tomorrow morning? She said, absolutely.
And he'll never know what she used to do besides real estate. Right. Good for him.
Oh boy. Here's creepy ass Ray going on and on about how he feels so young and energetic.
He's drunk.
And then poor Myrna comes out of the bathroom with her curlers in her hair. And this just takes every bit of air out of creepy ass Ray's sail. And he's just out. He's
drunk and
horny. He's drunk. And he's just out. He's like, he didn't leave yet.
Right.
But they put the Roberta scene between. They never finished the scene. I'm like, why are you breaking this up?
Roy seems like just exhausting, right? Like whatever Myrna's qualities are or aren't. Like
he's a pain in the rear.
He's literally like, he's hammered because he's been at the bar pumping Isaac for information. And he's just
drinking Will Chamberlain's keys. Yeah.
It's my first night. I'm old. I'm gonna go to bed. Sorry, Jack Carter. I don't want to lay down with you. So.
No kidding. Like she's like, enough, Ray. Shut it. But it is weird they put this little mini scene in between the other ones, which is just we're back to sad ass Roberta explaining that the love of her life, Bob, recently died on a training flight for the Air Force. Sad Nate tells sad Roberta of his wife's recent passing. And they go, basically they've agreed that they have depressed each other enough for one evening. And then they both leave and go their separate ways.
All right. Ooh, so
get a sandwich. We're digging into that storyline.
So the friends of Roberta are trying to cheer her up so they convince her to go on this cruise. But, you know your friend better. She clearly is not going to have a good time, right? Like, this is...
No, this she's going to be an emotionless face. All she does is blink in this episode.
Yeah.
And borrow an Agatha Christie book. That's the list of actions. Okay, we're back to the Ray thing. He's continuing to talk down to his wife. And then he says that he's going out to get a drink at whatever bar is still open.
Which apparently no bars are open.
Well, you never know for Ray. This could be... Well, no, everyone's kind of hunkering down for the evening at this point. So,
I mean, Myrna said the bars are closed, and he's like, he did not, you know...
He's like, shut it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going... Like, he's drinking moonshine out of the toilet or something.
But really, he's all horned up now. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And knock on Jill's cabin, opens the door. It's creepy Ray. She's like, what are you doing? And asked him if he's on this cruise for, or he asked her if she's on this cruise for business or pleasure. And he says something about your business is my business. Your business is my pleasure.
Yeah.
And then she's like, look, I'm no longer doing that. Like, I don't do that crap anymore. Get out of here. But she can't, like, I thought it was going to take a terrible turn. I thought it was
going to I really
oh, did. No.
Like, so if Jill's like, hold on a second, let me get my purse and we can go somewhere. And Roy turns around and she shoots him in the face, right? That's
right.
Legal, right? Like she should be able to kill him for being able to get in his room. Like,
I mean, she wouldn't leave him. He wouldn't leave her alone. Like, he was, no. He was like predatory.
He was stalking her.
Yeah, it was. No, I thought, I was like, please don't let him come in here and like do something to her. Like, you know what I mean? Or even give off that vibe that about, oh, he was, what a creepy character. Like, he played a creep really well.
But I don't think they, we'll get to it when they kind of take the turn, but it's like, they, much like the widower story, they thought they were doing a much better job of nuance with this thing. This is like, this guy's a creep, and he pussed out basically at the one moment of truth and then got away with it. No comeuppance again for a character.
Yeah. No, at the end, they were almost like cheersing each other. They were both like, you know what I mean? Like that, like yeah. like a wink nod. And I'm like,
yeah, no, it's awful.
Come on. Awful. So the end of this scene, basically, he threatens, meaning creepy Ray threatens to reveal to Bill what Jill did up until now as a job. So now she has that hanging over her head. Up next morning, perfect weather for a jog, unless you're Jocelyn, because what she's doing is not a jog. There's barely any forward momentum. That is the oddest looking thing. I'm no jogging expert.
Better, is she a better jogger than Anson Williams was? And that other, I think that's the only other jogging we've seen.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Because he was jogging on a much smaller surface.
He really was. But this.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't. But fine. But she can't. She looks behind her. Again, Captain Steubing's nowhere to be seen. Again, then they cut this. She trots off. And they go and you see somebody laying on top of a bench with a towel over his face. And I was like, oh, String Bean Steubing is dead. Did he die? Did he expire? Were you giving out ice cream? What's going on?
What a twist. What if we somehow didn't know that Steubing got killed off at the end of season one by the
contract dispute? Jeez. So he's laying there.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever. The end. Oh, and then it's Bob Crane for the season finale, and from now on
they just pull the blanket off of him.
And somehow, because he's on this show, Bob Crane lived.
Yeah, he was somewhere else. Yeah.
So they see Stu being laying, but they don't know it's him. Gopher says that the torso of this man reminds him of a baby whale he once saw at Marineland. Boom, boom, boom.
Sure.
Well, and also, like, how out of shape are you? You had to lay on boxes with a towel over your face? And it's not like she was tearing it up with this crazy pace.
And it's that thing, too, where it's like we go back and forth between Stu being trying to pretend this is, like, you know, the Lusitania. And then, or it's a floating hotel. It's like, shouldn't right. there be regulations? There's naval regulations, right? I mean,
absolutely. There's no,
you have to run standards. Like a 12-minute mile or something. Like,
but again, I just feel like his confidence should have been like, again, he's got nothing to do. He's just a Queen of England.
Those jelly donuts aren't going to eat themselves, Mike.
No, I bet you they were good too. I bet you they were delicious. He's got treats hidden in that place. Like, don't. He's got treats everywhere, that guy.
The wheel is just like just made of Slim Jims or something.
Where's our first stop? Wherever the Slim Jims take us. I don't know.
I ate the compass.
I ate 11 o'clock to 7:30. Jocelyn tells Doc that Captain Steubing disappeared during their morning run, just as he limps over. And here we go. Lying Captain Steubing says he was called away to deal with an emergency on the bridge. We all know that's a bunch of nonsense. How did Doc keep a straight face?
Yeah, Doc did some solid lying here this week. So,
she invites him to breakfast, which you'd think he would jump on that. And he's like, no, I got to run along to get ready for a crew meeting later.
Yeah, what is that?
What?
That was dumb before we saw what the crew meeting was. But even then, it's like you got to prep for your four-person crew.
Your hunger-driven anger. Unless he had a bunch of different meetings with four individuals all day long. Or you're just screaming at him four at a time.
Well, four different meetings or four different meals. He gets a different meal with every meeting.
Sad Nate, sad Roberta. They lie to Mo and Dottie about they have shuffleboard plans, how they can't spend the day with them. Boom. Well, here I'm thinking, Mike, I got to be honest. I'm like, here we go. It's a sunny day. Nate and Roberta, nothing crazy. Maybe they have lunch together outside.
Okay.
A little sunshine for a, you know, a gloomy trip.
Sure.
No. No. She thanks Nate and notices that he has an Agatha Christie book. She tells him that she loves the author. He loans her the book. The two wish each other a great day until they walk off in opposite directions.
So
day one, they amble off in different directions and slowly go back to the cabins. Day two, she gets a book.
But day one, that was at night when they ambled off. This is like the next morning. So they're killing the whole day now by themselves.
Not even 9 a.m. They're like, well, I'll go read this in my cabin today.
So Nate makes it sound like he had gone to the bookstore the first day to buy that Agatha Christie. Sure. So he had time to read an entire Agatha Christie novel in one day.
He doesn't sleep.
Glad you went on the boat. And now he's going to go buy a second one, and he's given an F to a child. What did these people pack? Like, you knew you were going to be miserable. What did you bring to do?
Three changes of clothes. That's it. Swimsuits.
And that Are giant you kidding? Picture.
No.
That giant picture of
Bob. The giant picture takes up most. That's where the book space was. She was like, book, giant picture, book, giant picture, giant picture.
Damn you, Bob, killed by Jimmy Carter's Air Force.
They didn't have the technology to make books smaller to fit in suitcases.
I was, for a second, I was like, oh no, because I think the next year, Carter made an attempt to get the hostages, and that ended in tragedy. So I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right. Was Bob on that team? But
oh, good one.
Sir. Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Poor Bob.
This is always the indication of a tremendous episode. Mm. We're still in act two, I believe. And in all caps, I have, who cares?
I could not agree more.
Once they did the exact same scene the second time,
right?
Which is what it was, right? Exactly. When they walked away again, that was we're not saving this baby.
Well, at least the third scene with them is nothing like those scenes. What, do they walk away from each other?
Yeah, but
they went the other way. Yeah. They crossed over. She was in front. I don't know.
Oh my God.
We're back to Myrna and scumbag Ray.
Can I say, sorry. I want to go back, but I do want to give them, I do want to point out the few good things that were in this episode.
All right.
So when they are doing the shuffleboard bit to kind of get out of talking to the prices,
I'm glad you brought this up.
They mention that there's 48 minute intervals and it's Swedish rules. Nonsense, right? Absolute nonsense. But that is the absolute best that Annette Funicello is in this whole thing. Is like, she's kind of fun and she's just kind of like, oh, yes,
happy
that we have to go. Like, it's there. It's totally there. But you decided to take one of America's sweethearts and make her just this mope machine. Now, maybe she wanted it, right? We always talk about people playing against type.
Right.
But this wasn't it. So. Also, it's shout like out to Shuffleboard, Steven, though. Shuffleboard was king on this boat, man.
Yeah, Shuffleboard was king. It is funny, though, because I did notice the same thing. And I had a note saying this is the happiest and the best I've seen her in this episode. When she lit up the way she lit up, you could see it. You're like,
Natural. It was a natural thing.
It wasn't natural.
It almost just felt like she was playing left-handed the whole time, right? And then this one scene, half of a scene,
well, that's she was why able people to actually, loved her. She was lovable, and you just wanted to like. I know your light's brighter. We're gonna turn it down for. It didn't make anything better.
No, it
was almost like on principle. You know, we're not gonna
examples of the people who want to play against type, right?
Sure,
do really well, but they don't do it the whole time if it's a negative. Like
right.
Robert Reed to me is always the one that was like the best version of against type, and he was great in that thing, but it wasn't like, and so maybe that's different because the role was so different, but like make a better role. Like that's really, it's on the writers
or just add maybe an extra layer or two in the dialogue. Maybe use that time introducing that character.
Right.
You know what I mean? The very beginning to give you that added layer, something,
well, you know,
like you can get it in there.
You know, what we can compare it to is the Sandy Duncan thing. The Sandy Duncan thing is very similar. Now, granted, there was a whole storyline that gave her an opportunity to be happy.
Right.
But do that. Give her half of the show to be happy.
She was never happy
in this whole thing.
It's almost like the last thing they wanted to do was to have Annette Funicello as the guest star. You're like, well, great, but unfortunately... And
that's have this tremendous storyline that was written for Werner Herzog.
How's your agent pitching this to her? I got a great one for you. What is it?
Yeah.
You smile one time. You just walk in the opposite direction. And no smooching.
Nope.
You exchange a book.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Really?
Love it. It's great.
It's just nothing.
The 13th most watched show in America.
21 million people watching this dreg.
I wonder if it's like this really, because I assume her and Frankie Avalon either talked all the time or never, but like he got a meaty role, a meaty fun role.
Yeah.
2 weeks prior or whatever that was. 3 weeks prior.
They allowed him to have some personality, like something. Yeah. Like if you're gonna have Frankie Avalon, then freaking have Frankie Avalon. Have some energy. Don't I'm trying to think
of an episode we've had recently, like last four or five, where she would have been a better fit. Honestly, she probably could have done the Michelle Lee thing last week with the housewife who was pretending to be a celebrity. At least that would have been something.
Or she could have even been the wife of the one where the rich people didn't make the cruise and they gave it to the younger married people. And then those married people acted like
just something anything. More upbeat. Yeah.
Right. It's not the saddest. is nothing but sad, the storyline. It's all sad. If you think this is going to end up in a happy way, it doesn't end up in anything. It's just
could have been, and I thought the actress was good for a while. She could have been the sister, the dental assistant.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? She could have been.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was a, you know, so there, these roles exist on this show. They just gave her a real bummer one.
Real stinkeroo.
Yeah.
We're back to Myrna telling scumbag Ray that she's so sick of all this arguing and the way that he takes her for granted and that she's moving into a vacant cabin. $5.99. And she wants to file for a divorce. And Ray is saying that you're crazy, you know, basically to walk away from their marriage. And he says, don't come crawling back to him. And she says, you'll never change. Boom. Okay.
Did she? So she didn't know where Ray went or Roy or whatever his name is. Like, she just knows that he went somewhere. And he, in theory, was gone for what? Like, where does Roy? Does he?
20 minutes? He walked around. No, he probably walked around the ship, you know.
Oh, right, because that's the morning she wants the divorce, because he got up and had a swim.
Yeah.
So she, what, stewed all night and then?
Apparently.
That's so weird. He's on cocaine, too.
Oh, like, he's a maniac. He's just a maniac. He never went to sleep.
That's the most indoor yelling I think we've heard. Like when he yells at her at the end, that would be jarring.
Oh,
if I was in the next room.
Yeah, I didn't. Not a fan. No,
he sucks.
He's not a fan. Not a fan of that guy.
Well, at least they redeem him by doing
by default.
Nothing.
Yeah, he didn't deserve that redemption.
No, he didn't.
Not at all. He should have been in the brig. Or something, or keel hauled, or one of those wonderful things.
He should have keel hauled him. I would have been okay with that.
He wouldn't have made it. He's an older gentleman, too. He wouldn't have done well with keel hauling, I don't think.
I don't think anyone's making an age regardless.
Just saying. Yeah, especially not anyone. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
We're back to Captain Steubing and his quote unquote crew meeting. He's ripping into Doc for not treating a single patient. He's asking Isaac how many maraschino cherries he uses each cruise. And then the last one, Julie, for not waking up sleeping passengers to tell them to ask them to join an activity.
I get what they're going for, but there's
he's just out of line.
Again, it makes him look like a stupid, petty man. There are ways to connotate crankiness without making your lead character look like an idiot.
Well, it certainly doesn't foster loyalty to somebody who's like clearly out of his mind.
Right.
This is how mutinies happen. Next day, oh, is episode 24 of Mutiny?
It's Captain Queeg. It's
be awesome. Bob Crane boards the ship Greenpeace style and takes over.
All right. That's enough. That's enough, Steubing.
All right. He orders him out of the office. And then they're kind of out of the area. Doc's kind of explaining, like, look, he hasn't eaten since yesterday, so they come up with some
plan. Classic TV. I don't think we've had a classic TV. I have a plan. Let's whisper, mumble until the commercial break.
Love it.
I really, not much Julie this week, right?
No,
like she probably maybe the lightest Julie episode we've had.
She didn't want anything to do with it.
Everybody gets a couple of weeks off, but the little bit with her kind of like waiting for Gopher to unveil his plan was pretty funny. I thought that was actually like a nice little piece of comedy. So
I like that feel in the Love Boat thing. I love that with the whole gin thing last week. And then I love when they all work together.
I was going to say when those four actually are all in the same scene and it's not,
they're great.
Some creepy hornball scene. It's actually pretty good.
I agree. So let's see what this, we didn't have to wait long to see what they did, because the very next scene, Captain Steubing's getting dressed. He puts his pants on and notices that they're much looser than they were before. He gets on his scale and he sees that he's lost 15 pounds. Let me just say, I always thought that if you're going to operate a giant like machine that's carrying human lives at sea where we don't breathe air. You should have, you know, attention to detail should be something in your bag of skills.
Yeah.
This to just driving it, just come on, dude. And then when you got this off, scale, you didn't notice when it's just negative.
That's 15. A good point. I'm already 15 pounds. Yeah.
Like what? So dumb.
It's like, is the, are some of the measuring tools on the bridge also going to be misread there? Like,
what direction are we really going? Welcome to Hawaii. Ah, same thing. That evening, a very confident string being Steubing is dancing with Jocelyn. And boy, the crew is just laughing about how they tricked this stupid SOB into thinking he lost 15 pounds.
I like that they immediately point out that he ate, like, you know, 30 dinners. Like,
he went crazy. Oh, God.
Dude, you were already dancing with her yesterday. Now you're dancing with her today. You could have been eating the whole time. It doesn't matter.
It's just so, it's just funny. But again, I love the crew working together. And I love the fact that they're like, this dummy.
This idiot. Yeah, I like it way better. And they're, it is funny. We've talked about how inconsistent everything has been.
Sure.
But I would say the majority of the crew Steubing interactions is this kind of like looking at him as a weird bipolar person who they don't inspect or gadget him. They like do respect him in a way like they have to, but they don't look at him in some sort of reverence, I think, that would actually probably ruin the show.
Is he the equivalent, oh boy, of Commandant Lassard in the police academy? And is he that, or is that
there's a world where it is? But it's, well, but again, it's the inconsistency. I think,
yeah,
I bet you if you lined up everything throughout the whole season, he probably falls definitely more on the, like, 50% more. He's that guy. I don't know if it's the majority of what he is, but, like, yeah, that is kind of what it is. But they don't lean into it enough to make it count. No. Like, some weeks he's, like, last or whatever, a few weeks ago when he's busting up the poker or the gin ring, he was coming off as, like, a, he figured it out and all
authoritarian,
that stuff.
Authoritarian,
so,
right.
Right. So there's just, they just need to pick one, whatever it is, and let the people bounce off that, as opposed to him just jumping around from week to week, because then you have to jump everybody around from week to week.
It's almost like, I wonder if their theory is, well, as long as he's captain-like in the first episode of the season and the last episode of the season, then at least, you know, we're checking that box, but he's just a joke.
I think we've really established that there is no show Bible here, at least in season one.
No.
And I do think it is, has been to the detriment of easy wins.
Absolutely.
For the show, you know, so
it doesn't have to be this hard. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't.
No. Cause it's just a tone. It's just your storylines can almost exist no matter what, but it's the tone and how they're shown. Right. So
I agree. Well, the band plays, you know, another upbeat number. They play The Way We Were for sad Nate and equally sad Roberta.
Nate would have been great if they would have spun around and it was that Brian guy singing,
whispering
it
in everyone's ear. Awful. Ugh. Nate says that it was his wife's favorite song.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
No one
loved every sad song. How is that her fit? All right. Yeah, so the two decide to go spread, you know, let's go be sad outside. Nothing really. While dancing, Jill is telling Bill that they have to talk later. But he's just saying that they can't talk, but they can talk about it later, essentially. Really weird, quick scene. Nate tells Roberta that his wife was a once-in-a-lifetime soulmate who spoiled him for all other women. Sad Roberta argues that somewhere in the world is a woman who needs all the love he has to give. And here's where Nate kind of like goes in for like a smooch almost. And then this rando couple comes up and they like stand uncomfortably close to this sad Nate and Roberta, which snaps them out of it. And they're like, oh, I forgot. We're way too sad for this. And they decide, hey, you want to go dancing? And she's like, no, I'm ready to call it a night. Scene. And they just walk back to their rooms.
So bad.
And that essentially wraps up their cruise.
It's so bad. And I do think some of it is the acting. A lot of it's the storytelling. But it's like,
just crap.
There was no, you're right. That is the most progress we got, was this maybe Nate was going to smooch, but these people decided to take a picture at the worst place on the boat.
Like, what are you taking a picture of? It's nighttime. Oh, the moon. You're going to get a picture of the moon with some little garbage camera. Okay. So dumb.
Oh, you know what? Because my theory is that their spouses are not dead. So maybe it is Bob and Jesse, the late the widowers' significant others, and they were just making sure that they weren't having a good time.
The ghost of,
not even ghost. I think they faked their deaths because these two are so like, boring and like sad.
Double amnesia. Yeah, but in this world, they'd be so dumb. They would keep their original wedding rings on.
I saw evidence that these two widowers were fun before the death of their loved one.
0%. Like, you're not going from 100% of fun to zero fun.
Nope. I mean, it wasn't even like the best Agatha. It wasn't even a good Agatha Christie book. It was worse.
Back to Bill and Jill. Bill asked Jill what's going on. He wanted to know what she wanted to talk about. Just as Ray, creepy Ray, walks over.
Now, what did you think was going to happen?
I thought he was going to lure it over her. I didn't think he was going to say anything to Bill. I thought he was going to lure it over her. Like almost do something, say it.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it close.
Something. Make a threat, but not a threat. You know what I mean? To her,
he was such a creep.
Yeah.
That I thought there was a shot he was going to be drunk and say something.
Yeah.
And then Bill was like, I'm confused or whatever. I was also hoping that Dolly showed up and just hit him with an orange.
That's funny. I thought Bill might punch him. I thought, but then I was like, well, he's too old to be punched. Like in this short thing, like maybe he would do something disrespectful.
Yeah, which is a shame. He should have been punched.
Yeah, he just can't.
Or at least pistol whipped. He should have at least been pocketbook whipped. So
it's just funny because he's the second Ray that deserved to be punched during this season.
We've only had two acts of physical violence. I think we call for them a lot more.
We need more of that. Basically, so he's telling Bill that he and Jill know each other. They've done lots of real estate deals together, so he doesn't blow her spot. Bill's called away to take a phone call, and he says,
what
I guess the coffee
Bill's
machine
getting
broke.
A business call.
what?
Bill's secretary is working at like midnight.
Bill says the phone call from his secretary, and he's like, I guess the coffee machine broke. And I'm like, oh, it's 1978. That's right. Okay. Once Bill's gone, Jill asks Ray why he didn't tell Bill her secret. And Ray said, he didn't see a point in ruining her life. Says his wife walked out, about how he's not going to change. Jill, she's like Switzerland. She says, if I can leave hooking or the world of prostitution, then you can change for the better too, creepy Ray. And then Ray's just like, oh, it just dawned on me that she's my entire world based on the words of an ex-prostitute who I had a weird relationship with. And Jill says, don't wait till it's too late to woo her back. And he calls her one hell of a lady and cuts in on Doc. And then he's just telling her like, oh, I'm going to, that extra cabinet space, I'm going to build that when I get home. Not like, hey, I'm sorry for being a scumbag and a creep. And he says he doesn't want to lose her, and he's going to do all the stuff around the house. She calls off the divorce and says she loves him. Why, Myrna is a fool.
So, couple flaws with this awful scene.
Really?
So, when Bill asks Roy, mm-hmm. how they know each other, right?
Right.
And Roy takes like an hour and a half to answer. Like, wouldn't that...
Yeah, like, what's really going on here?
Bill, like, you're just like, hey, like, you guys are how do you guys know each other? And Roy's like,
real estate, really. Well, that really rolls off the tongue there.
And then if Roy had this revelation, right, about how he's not going to bust up their lives because his life has already been busted up, why did he go over in the first place? Right? Like,
right. What's the point?
Awful. Bill, you know what? I watched this with my wife. Well, I watched this scene with her because she was going through the room. And when Roy apologized to Myrna and tried to get back with all his promises of cleaning out closets, she just said, insufficient. that was her opinion
pretty
of this.
Much wraps it up right there. I can't argue with that. That's funny. Bill returns to the bar following his super important work phone call and tells Jill that despite the fact that he's got a big deal going, he's working on, he's more interested in spending time with her. Jill again says we need to talk. He said he needs to talk about her past. And he says that phone call, I think, was prostitute related. Like he got somebody gave him a heads up. And he's like, I don't care. Yeah, something that's too, and I didn't think about that till just now. He says, I'm not interested in anything you did prior to meeting me. What? Really? You don't have one question, Bill? Nothing. Come on, man. And then gives her a passionate, he says, I love you, and gives her some smooches.
So something. Do you think Bill's call was from his hooker? Like, what?
No, I think it was from, what's her face?
Myrna?
No. I'll tell you in a second. I think it was Dolly.
Oh, no.
Dolly's blown the spot because she doesn't have any good pitches to hit anymore. She doesn't have any protection in the lineup. Like, she got nothing. Nobody wants to hang out with Dolly.
Oh,
she gets horrible Dolly. Gifts, like oranges. says, I love you, gives her a smooch. All right. Well, that's a nice. All right. Oof. Trying to get through this one here. String Bean and Jocelyn are doing some weird cheerleader routine. And then they're hugging. Like, what?
Who wants to see that?
Like, what are you guys doing? It's all out in the, like, you're at work. You're at work.
Like, it's like the glory days. Like, it's just.
It is. It's just this weird. It was 30 years. Like, come on. The two hug and they agree that neither one has felt this happy or content in quite some time. They smooch. And he confesses. Yeah.
Discount. Okay. So he's on the board. So you were right.
Yeah.
We got Stubing on the board before the end of the season. So
yeah. Gives her a smooch and says, you know, when they were in high school, he had a crush. And she's like, I had a crush on you. Because he was shy, he never got the vibe, blah, 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 blah. And then Stubing's like, this could turn into a reality. And she was like, nah, dog, this could just be a tonight thing. And he was like, okay. And they start smooching. She just was just like, relationship, smelationship.
Yeah.
Where's your cabin?
Listen, fatty. Did you see the part where he was like, call me String Bean? Like, he's like, that's his dog, dirty dog. It's like, just,
he's a String Bean. Call me String Bean. I'm like, geez.
It's like, I get it. You were married for 17 years. We think you have a child. Like, he is just awful.
He's a freaking mess, dude.
How are you on this boat and you are so bad at wooing? Like,
and you're the highest ranking person on the ship.
Yeah, you have nothing to do.
You got nothing to do. Nothing. Ship has reached the Los Angeles port. Mo and Dottie say goodbye to sad Roberta. Says that they apologize, you know, wasn't too bothered by them. Sad Roberta saying, no, it's cool. It's fine. I would have been sad basically no matter what. Says you're wonderful. Bye. Thanks, Julian Gopher, for a terrific vacation. Well,
yeah, really. Why was that terrific?
Well, that was great.
Doesn't she actually say this is the best vacation of my life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't understand.
You had no human interaction.
If that's a great vacation.
You got a book.
What?
You got a book.
You got a book. You got a book. You got a paperback, a used paperback book. She asked if they've seen Nate, sad Nate, and they said, no, we haven't. She thanks him again, walks off the ship. Jill gives Julie her basket of oranges, which she didn't eat them. They still got a giant basket. As she leaves the ship with Bill. And across the lobby, Ray gives her like a
like he's Mean Joe Green.
What
like
is it? Yeah. Thanks, kid. It's like, what? Nate asked Julian Gopher, huh? What's that?
Why does is have we seen anyone get like a zero end? The Fosters got like a wink.
They got that's it. Not a word.
They didn't get anything.
Myrna didn't get anything. Get
something. Like what's his name? Chet Maxwell got a scene at the end.
Something. Right. Off to his van. Shoot.
The Fosters. They were terrible.
Ugh. Nate asked Julian Gopher if they've seen sad Roberta. He wants to just give her a proper goodbye. A proper goodbye? You mean they each go in separate? They go in completely different. Oh, goodbye, goodbye. And then they walk in separate directions. It's so stupid.
So, So when Nate comes up to ask Julie and Gopher if Roberta has left, they're like, yeah, she's left the ship. But if you want, I can contact the travel agent and give you a message. Hey, how about you're like, she just left like 2 minutes ago. You
could catch her. She's probably still outside.
That way. She's right there. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. All of a sudden we care about safety? Come on, Julie.
Just dumb. You know what that was? It's because she wanted to get some of Nate. That's what it was.
She's got those oranges.
She's got those oranges. Outside we see a sad Roberta looking around for an available cab, and Nate comes running out. He's approaching the cab stand. They're looking, they couldn't be any closer and not seeing each other until they try to get into the same car. Nate says, would you like to share? And she said she'd like that very much. That's it. One little quick last scene, which I didn't realize this scene was going to happen. It was weird. It was after the commercial. It was like this was another little.
I might have missed this.
Captain Steubing and Jocelyn say goodbye after, you know, a night of whatever that was.
Whoopi.
He takes his hat off after he walks off the boat and drops it. And he bends over to pick it up and he rips his pants.
Did that really happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah, it was like the very it was if I felt I almost turned it off and I was like, oh.
I must have turned it off. That's funny.
Yeah, you missed gold. And that, my friend, is episode 23.
The scene where they are looking for each other in the parking lot. I timed it. It's an actual minute of the two of them going like this. For an entire minute.
What a waste of film.
They were crawling to the end on this episode. The total runtime was like 49 something.
It was in the cutting. You have like a scene and then they're like cutting that and they're putting this little piece here. But then you go back to this. It was not a fun watch. I'm not even saying it from not just content, but just the way it was put together was just an awkward, very like herky jerky. I don't know. All right.
Michelle pointed out that he, after a minute of looking for her, he finds her, even though her dress matches the cab completely.
That's funny. That is funny.
Totals and recap. So we're going to have this conversation again.
I don't think it's the worst
episode of the season.
That conversation.
No, this is not the best episode of the season. Of that conversation.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. There's a good chance that it is. It's in the conversation. I think it's easily one of the worst three. I've just now talked myself into it. It's in the worst among the worst two.
It's that thing we've run into now when we've talked about the bad episodes, which is there's a few ways you can get to bad, right? You can get to a huge swing and a miss.
Sure.
Like the characters are annoying or it's bad execution or something like that. Like the one that we had talked about being the worst with the Cordy Stubing and the $1 million bank robber and all that stuff, right? They took big swings and they missed. And then we had the one a couple weeks ago, which is similar to this one, which was just boring as hell.
Right.
And there's like nothing's happening. Nothing's interesting.
There's no meat and nothing.
And that's kind of where I'm at here. I don't know that it's any different than
what's worse,
21, but I'd have to like really sit and think about it.
Well, that's the, if you think about it, right? If 21 and 23 both had a similar problem, it wasn't the swing. It was just blah.
Yeah.
And I'd almost think that's worse than taking the swing and missing.
Yeah.
Because at least your heart's in the right, you know what I mean? Into it or it's, you know what I mean? You're trying to create something, whether you fail or not. I appreciate the attempt.
There's no attempt here. Right. This is semantics, but I'd rather it be bad than boring.
100%.
And I think these last couple have been boring as opposed to the first couple bad ones were just bad, right? Like the perfect example is that Floris Henderson inner monologue thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible, right?
Terrible.
But they tried something. It was bad.
100%.
It wasn't boring. It was bad. This crap is just terrible.
Well, and also like, you know, I feel like when we took this project on, right? The idea of the project to watch all these episodes. And there is joy in a bad episode.
Sure.
Right? Absolute joy. It's entertaining. And I really think you nailed it. It's the boring factor.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm really not. No,
the bar is low. The bar is low.
And I'm fine with it. That's all I really need. I'll say this. I would say 21, 23 might be like co-worst.
Yeah.
I'd have to really appreciate the swing.
I'd have to really sit and analyze it, but it's like not good.
No.
Not good.
It's terrible.
And it's the other thing where like we could have a really bad episode that has one really good storyline, right? Like you could have an egregiously bad two storylines, but one's really good.
Absolutely.
They don't have this. Like, give me one. I'll take one. My expectations have gone down, you know, recently. So
sure. And that's your thing is if you just aim a little bit higher, raise that batting average a little bit, I think that it'll exceed our expectations.
Right.
You know, that's it.
And I do think it's like, it's hard to compare it to last week because that was a completely different type of episode, but coming off of that, it's like this is everything that can go well with the show, and then it's sandwiched between these two. Just ugh. Like
I almost think it's worse because it's sandwiched in a way. It almost made
100% this one worse. 100%.
Like, oh, we're back to this again.
Like, there's no way for us to know, obviously, but like, if we had a season where the majority were like this, that's going to make for a long project here. So I need some good stuff.
Yeah. Come on. Season finale. Let's go.
You're putting way too many eggs in that basket, considering most of the writing was done by the people who wrote this.
It's all I can do. It's all I can do.
Captain of the week. Good luck.
I got to say Bill. I got to go Bill.
Yeah, Bill's pretty good.
And I just say that because he didn't do anything egregious or creepy. He took a weird phone call, but that's about it. Yeah. I root for Bill. He was a gentleman.
You don't think he was intentionally running into her at the beginning?
I don't know.
The second time, especially.
I mean, maybe he just, you know, he just thought she was, you know, attractive or took his shot. I don't know. There's a lot of conspiracy theories around Bill and Jill, but I think Bill was doing the right thing.
Bill was good. I gave it to Jessica Walter, I guess, because she was good in a pointless role. Like,
yeah.
And she had to kiss Steubing, which is, you know, you should earn some points for that. But, and obviously they liked working with her if she's coming back 8 times.
Yeah, 57 more times. Yeah.
Special hat tip to Gopher, though. Gopher is making a late surge here in the ranking, in the crew rankings.
I do agree.
That plot was great. I know you didn't agree with it, but I thought calling Steubing on his BS was great. Now, that said, he also asked about two widows. So can't quite get there for you.
He's going for the big hits and the little misses. So
this might be a little easier. Walk the plank.
Annette Funicello, get off of the boat.
I know. It's a shame.
But we got nothing. We got nothing. No offense. And no, it's the role. I just wanted Annette Funicello. And maybe
And see if she's on anymore?
I did not see her mentioned again.
That would be sad if that's it. Like, we don't even get one, like, redeeming Annette Funicello episode. That would be really sad. Because she deserves.
I don't think she was, but I will look at that
and provide. And let's not pretend that old Nate Jordan was any better.
Oh, no. It's just.
These guys were so dull
that
when I looked them up, I fully expected them to be a real life married couple. Because that felt like one of those things where it was like, oh, we have to do it this way because we're married, like Jacqueline Smith one, right?
Right. Where you have to overcomp or. Yeah, you can't even talk about it. Like, it's right. So.
But they were not. They were not married. They were just very boring.
But at least she was Annette Funicello. So it's like you had your hopes up for something. Like, whoever sad Nate really was.
Yeah.
He wasn't somebody who was like a mouseketeer and this happy person. And.
I'm going with the Fosters.
Really?
Yeah, because. Roy is a creep. I don't care what he did to try and get back. He's a creep.
I get that. But you're saying plural, the Fosters.
Yeah, because also Myrna backed down way too quick.
Very quickly.
And like, she also made them find her an extra room. So what? She spent half a day there? You shouldn't have been on this boat, honestly. It's a shame that you finally mustered up the temerity to ask for a divorce and then pulled it back so quickly just because he's going to clean out that basement. What? Like
folded like a piece of paper.
Also,
maybe she took on a lover that night. Maybe that's why she's all whatever.
Well, her and Doc were off. Let's not skirt past the fact that Roy fully admits that he's been hooking up with prostitutes for years.
Right. It's usually not. Right. I'm sure it was more than just Jill.
It wasn't like, oh, we're newlyweds or that was a different time. We've been married for a long time and he knows
he's
by name and can pick her out of an orange lineup. So it's like,
That's funny.
Not a fan.
No.
Snappy dresser though.
Snappy.
Ugh, that's totals and recap.
Plugs. Anything to plug, sir?
Baseball season has begun. So tune into the Hitting Season Patreons for Absolutely Hammered, where we talk about the Phillies who were recording this early, but I assume they are undefeated through the first 2 weeks of the season. So listen to that.
You can find us anywhere you get your audio podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Subscribe, leave us a review rating. We would love that. You can check our Instagram page, Love Boat Project. Check out the weekly reels. Join our Facebook group, Love Boat Project on Facebook. And my favorite portion of the show, yes, you can email us at theloveboatproject@gmail.com. You know what time it is, Mike?
That's my favorite time of year.
Time to check the old mailbag.
We got to get you a mailman hat for this segment.
Or some sort of like Pony Express sound effect or something.
Like a Mr. McFeely bit.
Something. And no mail. All right.
Now, to be fair.
Yes.
Our appeal to the Canadian listeners has not been released yet.
It has not been released yet.
But that's coming up. So I will be very disappointed if we do not hear from our Canadian listeners. So
let me just say this. If we we had about 14% of our listeners were Canadian. And I'll say if we can get that to about 18-19%, I will full on Canadian one episode. Don't even know what that means. I don't know if that means I wear a bunch of Heart Foundation stuff.
I think it's inevitable we're gonna have a Canadian. A lot of gourds.
A lot of gourds, you know.
Well, as Kev pointed out, as Kevin pointed out on our episode last, like cruises go up too, right? We could have a Vancouver cruise.
We could have a Vancouver cruise.
But none of it happens if you Canadians don't respond and tell us where the Hollywood Walk of Fame is in Canada.
Tell us.
That Monty Hall was inducted to.
So. Please. Please.
And you know what? If we don't have one, this is going to be a reel. I'm going to yell at people on a reel.
Tell us, Canada. Come on. Next episode, 24, will be the season finale. A little preview, a little sneak peek. Jan Brady's on the boat. Hey, Jan.
Oh, Jan, not Marcia.
Along with talk show host Gary Collins, staple of the 80s talk show.
Gary Collins, who about 15 different characters have looked like, including Bill. Yeah.
Side part, like Bill general. Week.
Yeah.
And we see a returning Pat Morita.
Oh, cool.
Next week. Not as a painter, unfortunately. Not as a painter. But hope so.
What do you think the odds are that there's anything in that episode next week that feels like a season finale? I don't think we're getting a cliffhanger, but
No. 1%. 1%. Nothing. I say 1% because what are they going to do? What could they?
Well, it would have been the episode from last week where they had a lot of it felt like the culmination of a season, whereas this week felt like, I don't know, guest writers.
Or you do the monkey one where like Gopher's going to get fired. Maybe you hold out that. The end of that episode till next year and be like, no, nah, we're good.
Just bring the monkey back.
Yeah, just bring the monkey back. Give him Julie's job.
Top of your head, don't want to put you on the spot here. Is there anything that we didn't see all season that you'd like to get in under the wire for next season? I feel like the Stubing hookup was like the last, like maybe a parent or another familiar. Could we get one of Doc's wives? That would be great.
That would be ideal if we could get one of Doc's wives. That would be great.
That's the big matzo ball, right? Is this point out the family like connections? Because all we have
are Steuben. You have Stubby, and you had
and Isaac's mom,
Stacy, and Isaac's mom.
That's it, right?
Nothing Gopher related. Yeah, I also noticed
in Kansas.
Yeah, and the Julie thing is not really consistent, and they sort of put the focus and then they take the focus off when they realize how like, no, we don't want her to look like this. Cause now
I think the one thing, so I was going to save this for when it was relevant, but since we're talking about it. So the thing about Julie that occurred to me a couple weeks ago when I was prepping for the Stubbies was we forget that Julie is the only female character. And so I think sometimes she has to play a lot more then, like, for example, they could have Doc be one way and Gopher be another way and Isaac be another way, but Julie has to be all those ways.
Yeah,
when it comes to romantic stuff.
She can only represent one of the ways, basically.
Right. And so I think her wild swings wouldn't happen if there was a second female character, right? They could could spread those around a little bit
and keep her as the
I still think it made the bad Julie episodes bad and the good Julie episodes good, but I think the
makes me feel a little better.
It made me feel a little better about it. Yeah.
So, you know, because that is
very
lot,
happy.
But, yeah.
I would be very happy if Julie was kind of not in next week either. Let's just get out of season one. No problem. Remember the good times. Forget about the priest.
No kidding.
You know, and we'll see in season two, Julie. So
yeah, no, I
want to feel. I want to feel the way about Julie that we felt in the beginning of this season.
Well, that's my biggest question going into the season finale is we felt a certain way about characters going in, just like you said. I want to know how they finish. Like, are they going to paint Meryl better than they painted him in 23? Are they going to try to right that ship? Or what are the efforts, or what do they do to end that season if it's not a cliffhanger? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there an upward swing, or is there somebody's pregnant on the boat? Like, what could, I don't know. It could be anything. I'm just wondering how they leave it.
And I think conversely, I also think I want to see how they start a season, because that is where you can really reset. Maybe you, especially because we've talked about it a few times. We don't necessarily know how they shot this thing in terms of, like, because of the weirdness of the guests and the storylines, like, you know, when they come back for season two, they have complete feedback of what people thought about season
one. They're ready to go.
So you might see something that is reflective of, like, well, this didn't work, or this worked well, or something like that. So,
well, yeah, maybe they do have that time to go back and be like, this is that formula. This is what we're looking for. And maybe season two will be stronger as a result of episodes 21 and 23, some of these stinkeroos. We'll see.
Yeah. I think, honestly, we've talked about it. I think the biggest thing is, if I could just get consistency, whatever you pick, whatever version of all these characters you pick,
just give me like for 70%
consistency.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm with you. Okay. Well, that was episode 23. Unbelievable. Next episode, season finale.
Dun, dun, dun.
Unreal. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.